When you're lost in the darkness, look for The Pod. Specifically, the Prestige TV podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network, where we're breaking down every new episode of HBO's The Last of Us. On Sunday nights, grab your battery and join Van Lathan and Charles Holmes for an instant reaction to the latest episode.
Then head back to the QZ on Tuesdays for a deep dive with Joanna Robinson and Mallory Rubin. From character arcs to video game adaptation choices, story themes to needle drops, we'll parse every inch of this cordyceps-coded universe. Watch out for mouth tendrils and follow along on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower. What's next? Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Welcome to Food News. I'm Juliette Littman.
I'm David Jacoby.
Let's put 30 minutes on the clock.
Yes.
30 minutes.
Always a good show when we're starting with the mafia news.
This is the perfect food news story.
It's also like already a movie. Like, I feel like I've seen this story as a movie. I realize it kind of reminds me of the fine film Double Jeopardy with Tommy Lee Jones and Ashley Judd. Have you ever seen that?
No.
It's really good. Anyway.
I don't think we've ever seen the same movie except for when we went to Batman. Those are the only overlap of movies that we've seen.
I think so. I mean, have you seen any of the Oscar movies? I've seen very few.
Not a single one.
I do want to see Top Gun now that it's back in theaters, but
that's the best movie I've ever seen.
Okay, so you have seen that one.
Yes, but we're going to write a movie about this story.
And it's going to be about Edgardo Greco, who is 63. In 1991, he was convicted in absentia of the double homicide of brothers Stefano and Giuseppe Bartolomeo.
He killed them with iron bars.
Iron bars before dissolving their bodies in acid.
Iron bars? Multiple iron bars. How many iron bars did he use? Where did he get an iron bar? Was it a crowbar? Did he have more than one?
In the mafia, I think that you have access to a lot of these kinds
multiple
of things.
Multiple iron bars.
Especially because, well, I can't say for Edgardo Greco, but based on my consumption of the television show The Sopranos, a lot of mafia people work in construction and or sanitation. I feel like if you're working in construction, it's a good way to get some weapons, like iron bars. Like, maybe you would need that in building. So.
Yeah, well, he killed a couple brothers with them.
He's got a pipeline to iron bars.
Pun intended.
Exactly. And they were then, the bodies were dissolved in acid, which
nice.
Is incredible move.
Great.
Also, I believe that happened, that definitely happened on Breaking Bad, I believe.
And remember, it went through the tub. Uh-huh. And then also on the Jeffrey Dahmer show that I watched.
Oh, yeah. That was too hard to watch. Anyway, classic moves here. And then he fled to France. And we know he fled to France because that was where he was recently arrested because he was working under an assumed name as a pizza chef, a pizzaiolo, at a place called Cafe Rossini Italian Restaurant. Mm-hmm. And it's in this place called Saint-Étienne near Lyon, France.
Yep.
And he's been apprehended because he could not resist the limelight. He had papers.
They made a local paper about him. And he's standing like front and center as the pizzaiolo of this featured restaurant. And he just looks like a mob boss dressed up and acting like a pizzaiolo.
He just is, I don't know.
He's got his arms crossed. He's wearing sunglasses. It's just like, if you went in there and he was like, would you like a slice? I'd be like, I'm leaving this place immediately.
I think that's the picture that was on CNN. In the newspaper, it's like even more egregious. It's like a full body shot. He's just like showing him. It's like, he's like, here I am doing my pizza thing, giving quotes. He's just,
I love it.
Like, as if people don't read the newspaper. Also, like, if you're going to do that, why don't you like drastically change your appearance? And as far as I can tell here, he's not even wearing like thick glasses. He hasn't like dyed his hair.
So here's how I think that goes, okay. Right? I've never been in a witness protection plan yet, but what I imagine happens is like day one, you like really sell that you're someone else. And like year one, even you're like putting on makeup and wearing glasses and hiding. But by like year 10, you're just kind of like, you're too lazy. You're just like, whatever.
You just assume that everyone has like
forgotten about you.
From yeah. you and, yeah, like, yeah. Just absolutely.
Even though you dissolved a couple brothers in Italy in some acid after hitting them with iron bars.
Just do not care. You're like, yeah, they've probably moved on. I know I have. I have a new life here in France.
Also learning about this man, I was like, this is the two murders that he got convicted for, but he's definitely responsible for like a couple dozen.
Have to assume there are some other ones too. I mean, the Facebook page for Cafe Rossini only has 48 likes. But
it's only with 65 followers and only 5 posts.
Yeah. So
not
like,
a robust social media management over there.
How did they even get this press coverage? Did they pay someone off for it? I mean,
who knows? They've got a good publicist. It doesn't look like that good of a restaurant, to be honest with you, from the pictures.
It doesn't. Also, like if I'm in like just like countryside of France, essentially, like, am I having pizza? I don't know. Although I will say pizza is like the default food in a lot of Europe. So maybe that's it. Well, good luck to him. I have a feeling he won't be returning to France.
No, I don't think so.
Let's move on to New Mexico. Mm. New Mexico wants to become the first state with an official aroma. It will be the aroma of roasted chilies, which I will say I like New Mexican food. I love a New Mexican burrito.
Oh, yes.
An official aroma. This just seems like a waste of elected officials' time. And
a little bit.
I just like want them to consider, is this the best way to be... positioning themselves.
To feature the chilies.
And to position themselves for future in politics.
And they're telling us that this is going to bolster the tourism because people will want to go there during chili roasting season. And I was like, guys, state aromas are not going to like feature in my, whether or not I want to go to New Mexico.
Mexican food definitely will. I support this, like, New Mexican food, excuse me. Mm-hmm. When I lived in San Francisco, I lived down the street from a great New Mexican food place, and it was so fucking delicious. I've heard it's closed since. It was called Green Chili Kitchen, and it was awesome. Smothered burritos.
Glad you brought up the green chilies.
Yes,
because
so good.
One thing I found really interesting about this story is not so much about New Mexico featuring the scent of roasted chilies, is they're really trying to win the beef with Colorado over which state is the true green chili state. Because if you were to say to me, roasted green chili sauce, I would think Colorado, not New Mexico.
I had no idea that was a Colorado thing.
It's a Colorado thing.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I had no idea. I associated it with New Mexico, the smothered burrito.
Oh, my former colleague and great man, Mark Schlereth, has his own green chili line because he used to play in the Broncos.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So this isn't so much about establishing the state of aroma. It's more about just firmly planting the flag of we are the green chili state.
They are. I'm firmly on the side of New Mexico.
Well, that's just because there's a restaurant down the block from your apartment.
Yeah. And I lived in California, which is closer to New Mexico than Colorado. And
is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes. I think so.
I don't think so. It depends where you are in California.
California, Arizona, New Mexico. You know, you could drive there. It's like 11
hours. Yeah, you're right. You can't drive to Colorado from California. My bad.
Can you not?
I'm thinking Northern California is closer to Colorado than it is New Mexico.
We can check it out on Google Maps.
I don't think we have to. I think it's a fact. There's parts of Colorado that are closer to Mexico, parts of Colorado that are closer. I mean, parts of whatever. You know what I mean?
I thought it was very firmly a New Mexico thing. So I had no idea. If I were New Mexico, though, I would just not even acknowledge Colorado.
Yes, good point.
I'd just be like, this is not a competition. Like, you can compete with us, but we will not be competing with you.
I love where your head's at. It's like, if you don't acknowledge the competition, you're not in a competition. But they squarely, in this article, were like, we are the true state.
Yeah, like...
The real true state wouldn't acknowledge that they're the true state because there wouldn't be any
non-true
states.
If I was a legislator in New Mexico, I'd be like... That's cool. We don't beef down, but I guess they beef up.
Yes, exactly.
We don't chili down, but I guess they chili up.
We don't beef down. We just smother that shit in chilies.
Yes, exactly. All right, let's move on. Dr. Pepper has 2 new flavors, and I would like to try them. One is strawberries, strawberries and cream, and then strawberries and cream zero. These are obviously Coke products. They have the same Coke Zero Sugar branding.
Mm.
I don't like Dr. Pepper at all, but I do like an artificial strawberry taste.
And cream. I love like a cream soda or like an orange cream soda. Couple things I learned reading this article. Number one, Dr. Pepper, established in 1885.
Yeah. I just learned this week that root beer was introduced in 1876.
I would have taken the under for root beer. I feel like root beer has been around for a long time. They were drinking root beer at that tavern in southern Iraq 5,000 years ago.
Heinz ketchup and root beer were both introduced to the world at the 1876 Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia.
Oh, look at you. Just
learned that this week.
Wow. Yeah. Another thing I learned. They call Dr. Pepper a cola.
Yeah.
Is Dr. Pepper a cola?
I consider it like a root beer cousin.
Oh, like first cousins or second cousins or play cousins?
Like second cousins. Kind of similar taste. I don't consider it a cola, but I don't really know the definition of a cola.
Oh, yeah. I mean, why would we find out the definition of a cola?
Who knows?
Coke and Pepsi. That's what a cola is.
Seriously.
I think it's like a sugar-based soda. It would be my guess because it's like caramel sugar-based. I don't know. But Dr. Pepper is not a cola.
No.
It's not at all a cola.
It's Dr. Pepper. It's its own thing.
Now, I used to think this. And I don't know how insane this is. I just think Dr. Pepper was actually a soda trying to replicate the flavor of like a bell pepper.
Really?
Is that stupid?
Yeah.
It kind of tastes like that. If you sip Dr. Pepper and you think this is artificial pepper flavor before you sip it, you will see the bell pepper in your head and taste it in your mouth. I'm being dead serious about this take. I'm not moving off of this take.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great future taste test.
Yeah, it's more like a feel test. You have to think about the pepper and then sip Dr. Pepper and then you will taste it.
Okay, well, that still sounds like something we can do on this podcast. And I'd be interested to try it. You know when you're thinking of a beverage and then you drink something and it's not what you were thinking about and you're like so surprised?
No, I don't know that.
That sometimes I'll be like expecting to drink like seltzer and it turns out to be like Coke Zero and I'm like very caught off guard or vice versa or whatever. Just a side note, cola is a carbonated soft drink flavored with vanilla, cinnamon, citrus oils, and other flavors.
Vanilla, cinnamon, citrus oils. God, and I would never guess that. If you gave me a Coke, you're like, what notes are in here? I'd be like, I don't know.
The very first one is from cola nuts. Like, cola is a thing, and then Coca-Cola changed it. It was with a K, and then they changed it to a C. It's amazing. Coca-Cola is one of the most successful branding operations, probably in the history of humans.
It's so good.
They just completely co-opted an entire beverage category to the fact that like we only recognize cola as being a Coke or a Pepsi. And like Pepsi is like an imitation Coke.
The fact, when I read this, Dr. Pepper was a cola, it blew my mind. That's a cola?
I know. It's shocking. It really is shocking. But for this new flavor, it sounds like it'd be great with vanilla ice cream.
Oh, yeah. And so, the person who wrote the article was like, it's a standalone beverage. You don't like drink it with Chinese food or like as a dessert. It's like a snack, a treat.
Yeah.
It sounds great, by the way. It sounds great.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah, I'd love to have some.
All right, let's move on. California has had a lot of problems lately.
I know.
Including.
Not enough rain, too much rain. Anthony Davis doesn't like LeBron James anymore.
Anthony Davis will not celebrate his teammate with an incredible accomplishment.
Yes.
I mean, there's just a lot going on. And add to it, some citrus disease problems, Jacoby.
Tough.
Really tough. There's an insect called a Diaphorina citri kuayama, and it carries a deadly disease called HLB, also known as citrus greening. And it's coming for the citrus crops of California.
Now, I lived in California for 4 years, about 5 years, whatever it was. I don't know. And one of the things one of the things that's so good is the citrus from the trees. Like, we had this neighbor who had an orange tree in the backyard.
Yeah.
One day I just picked an orange and ate it. Best orange I've ever had in my life. If you have a single lemon tree, you have a surplus of lemons.
You cannot go to so many lemons.
There's not enough ways to use the lemons for one household to use that many lemons. But like, I didn't realize that this was such a thing. I didn't realize they've overtaken Florida as orange producers.
Yeah, Valencia oranges are, I think, from Valencia, California.
Yeah, but it's now a stat. I think last year they surpassed Florida as the orange state.
Shout out to California. I mean,
I think this might be some collusion. Maybe these bugs were planted by Floridians.
Oh, interesting. I was going to say on the lemon tree topic, it's sort of like too good to be true. And I think that Californians like take it for granted. Like I had a lemon tree too. And I was just
so many lemons.
I was like, this is awesome. Like, oh, I don't need to buy lemons.
Do you know the housewife that lived in Malibu overlooking
Yolanda?
She had like a full lemon, like arboretum.
Yes, a lemon grove.
There's no way you can go through this many lemons. Like, it's insane. You have hundreds of lemons every single day you have to get rid of.
If anyone was going to have too many lemons, it should be a housewife because you can imagine them doing like a weird cleanse using all of their lemons.
Yes.
Like, only having natural lemon juice for the next 72 hours.
Roasted lemon rinds for dessert.
This
well,
is just
we
one
hope
of
they fix that.
One of many agricultural problems facing the western part of the country. I wish them the best here from the eastern part of the country, where I don't know, things
we
are,
have other problems.
Things are fine. Yeah, yeah. yeah. There are other problems, but not that. More on oranges and citrus. People are eating oranges in the shower. And did you watch Seinfeld?
I've seen a lot of Seinfeld episodes.
Have you seen the episode where Kramer's doing everything in the shower?
No.
It's a good one. It's funny.
That sounds good.
This made me think of him, but I feel like doing something in like adding some kind of like natural thing to your shower, I feel like is really in. Like people have just like started talking about like adding eucalyptus to your shower.
Oh, I love that. In the steam room, eucalyptus. Yeah.
It's nice. And so people are saying you should eat, this is on TikTok, of course, you should eat orange in the shower.
Yes.
Because it basically, it's like, primal.
Aromatic.
It's aromatic. Yeah. It's like gets you in touch with like your inner citrus loving
character. So at first I was against this.
Okay.
And second, I was like, I don't mind if my orange gets wet, right?
Sure. It's already wet.
I'm not eating like a chocolate chip cookie in the shower, right?
Sure.
Number two, smell nice. Number three, you have these sticky hands after the orange.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom. No more sticky hands.
Not a problem.
Like at first, my natural inclination is just to reject all of this like TikTok bullshit. But this one, I was actually like, you know what? I'm on board. I'm on board.
I'm on board with it too. My only thing is like, this is a New York problem. My bathroom's really small. So the thought of having food in my small bathroom where like I also go to the bathroom and also like brush my teeth and like all this stuff, it's just like not that appealing, but that's a me problem.
Well, there's a small bathroom, a big bathroom. The shower's the same size.
Yeah, but like shower being so close to the toilet, like in some bathrooms, there's more distance. I think it's gross.
Unrelated. I'm gonna say no, it's not a thing.
Okay, fair enough. I mean,
okay, now I feel bad.
Because you're just like, no?
Yeah, because I just feel like the shower experience is within those walls.
What if you have a curtain?
Well, within that area.
I don't know. It's just like, it's not a closed system. And like, you're supposed to keep your toothbrush 6 feet away from the toilet. Like, that's like recommended.
What?
Yeah, there was once an article about
no.
that. Yeah.
Now I've got a poop brush? Yeah, are you telling like, me? Oh my God.
Everyone's got a poop
just
brush.
Don't. You know what? I wish I didn't have that information.
Sorry.
Damn it. My toothbrush is very close to my toilet.
I know, because we live in New York.
Oh,
these are
God.
New York problems.
This is awful. This is awful. I have to get a new toothbrush.
Well, you also probably just don't need an orange in the shower. Bring an orange with you to the locker room where you know your shower is far away from a toilet.
Oh, that would be really weird if I saw someone like at the gym just like walk through a shower with an orange and then walk out with the peel.
Yeah.
That would be really weird.
I know. But also, I'd be like, huh, okay.
I'm going to try this. Food news follow-up. I'm going to try this.
Okay. It does sound like
I
soothing.
Like it.
It makes me think of something they would do on a bachelor date. Like if they go to a spa and they would be like, now here are your oranges or whatever. Like when they're in Iceland, like at the Blue Lagoon for a spa date or something like that.
I love the idea of just not having sticky hands anymore. Just be like, oh, my hands are sticky. Guess what? Quick fix. Boop. Over.
Same. All right. Let's move on. This one really came as a surprise to me. Sort of. The father of Peeps, the inventor of Peeps, the Easter candy, he died.
Ira Bob Born, R.I.P.
Ira Bob Born. When I saw that his name was Ira, I was like, oh, he's Jewish. And I was like, a Jewish guy making Peeps, like, both surprising and completely checks out.
Family from Brooklyn.
Family from Brooklyn, moved to Pennsylvania.
Of course. Do they make candy in any other state?
Not that I know of.
Seriously.
I have no proof that they do.
Do they make candy in any other state? We have 50 of these things. Does anyone else make any candy?
No, they own candy.
I think so.
They own sugar. Which is funny because you know sugar is not grown in Pennsylvania.
No.
So it's a big importing state, I suppose. But I just was like, the Jewish guy making Peeps, that checks out for me.
He sounds amazing, by the way.
All of these like old-time food inventors, they all seem like
lovely
people.
They're such great guys.
Just came, like all their ideas come from like a place of happiness.
It took him 26 hours to make a single Peep, and he made a machine that makes them in 6 minutes. He was like, this machine doesn't exist. Guess what? I'll build it. You know what else he's interested in? Woodworking, playing chess.
And?
The choir. He's in a choir.
He went to MIT for graduate studies in math and physics, which led him to this interest in making candy.
Peeps.
He's interested in like the process of it.
Oh, guess what? Not only did he create Peeps, hot tamales are his too.
It's amazing.
If you create hot tamales, did you also create Mike and Ike's? Because I always imagine that like they're like cousins.
I don't think I've ever had either. So
what
do they taste like?
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
You've never had a Mike and Ike?
No.
Or a hot tamale?
No.
Ever?
No chocolate, no interest.
No chocolate, no interest.
One of my camp friends, Samantha Wiggins.
No chocolate, no interest.
In the summer of 1996, she got there before everyone else, and she was sitting in the bunk, like, saying to people, want a hot tamale? Want a hot tamale? And ever since then, I have not wanted one, though I love Samantha very much.
Wow.
And that's my only association.
Samantha catching strays.
No, I love Samantha. She's still one of my good friends.
Shout out to Samantha.
What do they taste like?
Hot tamales?
Yeah. Is it jelly bean?
No, cinnamon, like big red gum. Oh. But it's like, it's basically like a
cinnamon jelly bean?
A misshapen jelly bean cinnamon style.
And what's a Mike and Ike?
Same thing, but with like fruit flavors. Sort of like a Skittle array of flavors,
sure,
in that sort of stretched jelly bean with a harder shell.
I don't really like Peeps. I don't really like any of these super sugary candy.
No chocolate,
candy.
No interest.
No
You've
chocolate,
established
no interest.
That.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Yeah. I need chocolate in my candy.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's move on. I think we have time for one more story until a Super Bowl taste test.
Oh, the big game, Juliet. The big game. The big game. We don't want Roger Goodell come and sue us.
The big game. Okay. Let's do a little booze news.
Booze news.
Truckload of Jack Daniels crashed in North Carolina on the I-40.
Yeah, it did.
I have a question. Do you think there's always been this many food wrecks?
Food crashes?
Well, food crashes?
Since it's really been part of our purview for the last year plus.
Like, do I only know about it because of
because
podcast?
I think so.
Or is there more reckless driving of goods?
Yeah. What is, maybe this is part of the supply chain issues? They need to go faster or
yeah,
something?
Seriously.
Maybe they've worked harder? I think this is probably has something to do with the war in Ukraine, but I haven't figured out the connection yet.
Oh, interesting. Huh. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe like many of the best food haulers are just busy or have gotten new jobs. But yeah, this happened in Greensboro, North Carolina. As you would expect, there was some traffic delays.
Yes, there's a lot of focus on the traffic implications thereof. And one thing that this made me think about was one time I was at a bar and my buddy, shout out to J-Bot, stole a bottle from behind the bar.
Oh.
Like reached over and got it and took it to the dance floor.
Did it get kicked out?
No, took it to the dance floor, dropped it, and
it spilled
everywhere.
Did it get kicked out after that?
No.
Jesus.
But what happened was, is everyone dancing, because what happens when you spill booze on the floor, it's
10
very sticky.
Minutes.
So the dance floor became a place where you couldn't stay on rhythm because your feet would stick, right? And so, to bring it full circle, all I could think about was not just, oh, hey, there's free booze everywhere because all the bottles are broken, but just imagine driving through
sticky.
That. Sticky. And then it's like your tires like, are making this noise. It's just sticky everywhere. It's really sticky roads after that.
Can we go back to this J-Bot situation?
Yeah.
How much did he have to pay for this bottle?
No, he didn't. He would ask for like a beer. They would turn around. He would reach over and grab a bottle of liquor,
take it back to us.
And then we would drink from the bottle. We're broke.
That's really upsetting.
Really? You're pulling the moral high ground on this one? You're pulling the moral high ground on this. Taking a bottle that probably cost the bar $10 that they're charging at least, I don't know, making $400 on?
But what about the bartender? Do you think the bartender got in trouble for this? Like, I just lost a bottle of...
No, and they didn't have like cameras back then either. Cameras like literally didn't exist.
I know, but you think that there was no repercussion for just losing
a
bottle of whiskey?
No one even noticed.
I don't believe
that. Except for the person that had to clean up the shards of glass. The people that had to step on the shards of glass and then go to the hospital. And the people who couldn't dance because they were stuck to the floor. Those are the implications.
I just really hope that no one lost their job over this. I'm really worried about it.
I hope so, too.
I mean, that's crazy.
I think he did get caught one time and then stopped doing it.
I feel like this happened on a TV show. This did happen on a TV show, on an episode of Real Housewives, maybe of Potomac or something. They go to a bar. Fuck, I need the reality crew to tell me. But this did happen. I think this happened on Potomac, where someone stole a bottle from the bar, and it was like a big deal. So maybe that's why I'm upset, because I saw it on TV.
Was his name Jaden Chikara?
No, I don't want to implicate a house husband, but I'm nearly positive
Juan
this
Dixon?
Happened. Oh my God.
Different podcast.
But Juan Dixon.
Yeah, I know.
Ugh, whatever. All right. Taste test time, people.
Taste test time.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear. That is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Super Bowl, excuse me, the big game.
The big game taste test.
The big game taste test.
So Juliet has been eyeing these goods that have been in front of us for quite some time.
We went to Trader Joe's, and by we, I mean Mike Wargon.
Yep, Mike Wargon did.
Went to Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, I bet a lot of you will be having Trader Joe's goods on Sunday for the big game as you watch Rihanna in between some football. And we wanted to sort of be like your advanced scout team.
Exactly.
Let you know what's good. So we have a couple things to try. We have three things, really. We have some chips. We have two dips.
Classics.
Buffalo style chicken dip and a sour cream spinach dip.
Mm.
We have some pigs in a blanket. We have chips, of course, for the dipping mechanism. And then for dessert, which I've been eyeing actually the longest because I have a sweet tooth, milk chocolate covered mini pretzels, which I love.
Yes, chocolate. Yes, interested.
Exactly. High variance in how those are. But
really?
I've been most excited about the pig in the blanket.
So you gotta start there.
I want to try this. But Mike, can you give us some details on this pig in the blanket? Turn up your mic. Like, what did the box say? Anything special? Like, anything different
really
than what I would
on
have?
The spot.
Mike is
freaking out right now.
Yeah, they're pastry pups. So it's like a Parmesan pastry covering the hot dog.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yum.
Yep.
Really good. Only note, a little too much saltiness with both the Parmesan and the Frank.
Nope.
But really good.
The Parmesan adds a nice crisp element.
Yeah.
And visually, the Parmesan really plays as well because it browns really well.
What's your dipping sauce? Mustard or ketchup?
For that, mustard. Big mustard guy.
Mm. Dijon?
Big time mustard guy. Dijon is my favorite mustard. Shout out to Grey Poops. But for the hot dog, I go classic French
Deli
yellow.
Mustard. Mm.
Yeah.
So good. I'm thinking of Amanda Dobbins right now. She loves cocktail franks.
I love Amanda Dobbins.
She's great. I love them too.
Best Here we
part
go.
Like any wedding I went to that didn't have something in a puff pastry was sort of a waste of time.
Wow. Think of all the unions that created people that are just happy, loving relationships that you're calling their marriage a waste of time.
Not their marriage,
because
their
they
wedding.
Didn't have a puff pastry.
Yeah. That's like baseline for a catered event, something in puff pastry. A quiche. Pig in a blanket. Just need it.
Okay. You start with the...
I'm starting with the buffalo chicken dip.
And I'm starting with
I've never had this from Trader Joe's.
Sour cream and spinach dip.
Sounds so good.
Yeah. All right. Ooh, great, great sound.
Mm. That is good.
See, mine might as well be a fucking salad next to yours.
This is better than having wings with buffalo sauce.
Yeah, mine is sour cream.
This is so
and
good.
Spinach dip. But like next to yours... Mine looks like...
I'm going to buy that.
It went to MIT with Ira Bourne, and this one went to fucking Tulane and partied in the French Quarter
By
all the
way, how do you get from Ira to Bob?
I was wondering that myself. But I read it. I was like, he just died, so I didn't want to say anything. You know what I mean?
I'm like... I'm wondering if he was trying to, like, de-Jewish his name. Because Ira can only be Jewish. There's no non...
Bourne?
There's maybe... I know of one non-Jewish Ira, but it's, like, truly shocking.
I don't even know an Ira.
My dad's middle name is Ira.
Oh.
I think it's
a Maybe
cute
his
name.
Middle name is Bob.
No, it's not. The Buffalo style chicken dip is so good. I'll be buying that.
Oh, I'm going back
for
in
for the
more.
Big game. And seriously, I much prefer that to wings.
You know, I'm really proud
My
of you.
My hands aren't dirty.
I'm really proud of you, Juliet. This is kind of spicy.
Yeah, it's a little spicy.
I'm proud. You're growing.
Thank you. I'm recovering.
You're showing growth. You know, that's all we can ask for.
Thank you so much for recognizing my accomplishments. It makes me feel
I appreciate
good.
You. I'm not like Anthony Davis. I recognize your accomplishments.
Jacoby, if you ever break LeBron James's scoring record, yeah. I will stand up and cheer you on from the center court.
I know you will. You'll bring a fucking sign. You'll give me like a heart signal.
The spinach chip is very good.
Nah, but you can't compare.
That's the problem. It's like having your favorite meal on the night you get home from vacation. You're like, yeah, it's really good, but I'd rather still be on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sad. Can I have some more buffalo
it's
dip?
It's good. This buffalo dip is fucking slamming.
It's what the kids used Trader to say
Joe's
would be flames.
Buffalo style chicken dip.
I've never had it before.
White chicken meat with cream cheese, sour cream, cayenne pepper sauce, shredded jack. Yeah.
The cream cheese is a secret to the success.
Oh, yeah.
I love cream cheese.
This is good. All right. I'm just going to try to not eat it for the rest of this podcast. How much time we got left? 3 minutes, I can make it.
We got to taste those pretzels.
Oh, yeah. Finish. You got to wash
it
down with a pretzel.
Which I'm excited about because I need some sweetness after the spice of that.
Yeah, I know you do. And this guy has chocolate, so you're interested.
This is really good. I love it.
Nope.
Crunch and mush for you. Yep. Is salt and sweet together.
Yeah. It's good.
Really good.
It's good. I mean, it's a chocolate covered pretzel. Like, of course, okay. It's good.
Personal food news.
BFN.
Last night for dinner, I didn't know what to have.
Okay.
I knew this day would come where I'd be like, I just don't know what to do. I don't want to order in. Ambivalence.
Yeah.
I had a slice of table 87 pizza from the freezer. You know those individual slices that are like in plastic?
No.
It was on Shark Tank. It's one slice.
One slice.
Put it in the oven. Takes like 7 minutes.
Yep.
It was really delicious.
Really?
And I didn't have to like have the mental game of, do I want to make an entire pizza?
That's the thing.
And it just was like one slice. It's really expensive. It's really too much money.
Okay.
But
should be a catch.
But it's cheaper than ordering in. So I recommend it. And I have to say, like, the food that has come out of Shark Tank that then goes on to be like actually successful.
Shout to Mush.
Mush is really good. So Table 87 Pizza. I enjoyed it.
Good for them. My personal food news is a weekly tradition. On Tuesdays, I pick up my son from the bus, and we go to coding class. That's right, coding class. He's going to be a millionaire, pay for my retirement.
Cool.
And he gets off the bus. He's hungry, but I don't want to get him dinner, so I just get him a snack. And we decided to stop and get a glizzy every week from the local, like, papaya place.
It's still open?
Yes. And
for now.
What we've decided is every week we're going to try a different topping.
Ooh.
And establish which is the very best.
Love it.
So far, we've done sauerkraut and mustard. We've done quote-unquote chili. We've done the New York onions. And we've done ketchup and mustard. We're
going to
do cheese dog next. But I will tell you that we're really learning some things about toppings and hot dogs and what works and what doesn't. The New York onions do not work.
Oh, really? That would be my favorite.
The chili is just not a good idea.
A chili dog?
Yeah.
Well, are you walking with this?
Yes.
It's not a walk and eat. If you're sitting at a table, sauerkraut plays. That's classic.
Sauerkraut and mustard
that's
really
classic.
Plays.
That's the classic.
So that's where we're at, and I'll report back when the Great Glizzy experiment is over.
So what you're telling me is the time-tested toppings of every hot dog cart in Central Park is the best version.
No, because those onions do not work. The New York onions are kind of like, they're like a tomato-based sauce onions.
What I'm saying, sauerkraut and mustard is like,
that's the standard. Yeah, that's the standard. And it's so far in the lead. However, the cheese dog is still to come. So I'll keep
that
you guys abreast.
That sounds disgusting. Once again,
cheese dog sounds disgusting?
Yes, because once again, I'm thinking about the meat on the side of the road. That pink shit.
Oh, no. I have a glizzy every week. A half a glizzy.
Let's get to listener food news.
30 seconds.
Hi, Juliet and Jacoby, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
I just had a question for you guys about queues. There was a fun article in the New York Times this week discussing New Yorkers who are waiting in lines for things like brunch and bakeries and pizza as opposed to long lines to get COVID tests and vaccines. My question for you guys is, what is the longest line you've waited for some type of food? Love the podcast.
Ooh.
That's 0 minutes for me.
Yeah.
Actually, I take it back. There's this cafe in Park Slope called Winner, which is very good, and they have really good breakfast sandwiches. And sometimes I will like make the activity waiting in line to get a breakfast sandwich with like a friend or something like that. So then that, I don't know, like 25 minutes, but like I will only do it if it's like the activity, not if I'm just like alone and I need to get something.
sometimes when I see people waiting in line for food, I'm just like, what are you doing? There's a boba tea place on 6th Avenue, which is this huge line. I'm like, you just like,
Crumble Cookie has really long
lines. Like the line goes so far that you probably hit another boba tea place while you're in line for it. And I would say the longest line I've ever waited on would be downtown LA food court place.
Oh my God, that was awful.
Yeah, like I would go there on the way into Grantland and I'd be like, I want an egg sandwich. This place is supposed to be really good.
Yeah. That sucks.
15 minutes.
That really sucked. Also, there's a lot of food lines in LA because like you're just, you have to like pot commit. You're like, well, I came here to get this.
Yes.
I can't just go somewhere else.
Yes. And how many times have you waited in line for 30, 35 minutes and be like, that was totally worth it? Like I remember getting excellent
almost
and being
never.
Like, this was okay.
Literally like, almost never.
I almost want to like go back to the line and be like, guys, I just ate this.
There's this
not worth it.
There's this bakery in Brooklyn Heights, which was part of this article called like L'Appartement 4 or something like that. And I want to try it, but like, I just will not wait in line. So
what if there was a mafia boss in hiding working there?
Then I'd love to be a part of history. So
I would love to do that as well.
Just be like, I've been there.
She killed a pair of brothers with iron bars and then melted them in acid and then started making pizza for 16 years.
Unbelievable.
It couldn't stay out of the spotlight. Posted on social media.
Unreal.
It was featured in a newspaper article while he was on the lam and for murdering two brothers and putting them in acid.
Here's my takeaway. If you commit a crime and you do not get caught, change your hairstyle, change your name, stay out of the paper.
I think it's a discipline problem. I would do that. But after 4 years, I'd be like, I want my old hair back. Like, I'm tired of like looking like Eminem. I want my natural color back.
Then watch The Wire and be like, oh yeah, I don't want to do that. Go to jail.
Shout out to that guy. Shout out to the police that caught him.
Yeah. They have great discipline. They stayed on the case.
Great discipline. Stayed on the case. Read every single article of every newspaper around the globe until they found the one that featured the brother murderer.
Unbelievable. Greco, good luck, man. Kind of. All right. Thank you to our producers, Mike Wargon.
Enjoy
and
the
Ronick
big game,
Mare.
Everybody.
Enjoy the big game.
It's
can't wait. Can't wait for Rihanna.
We're talking about the Super Bowl.
We'll be back next week.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.